is presented in heaven. Now, this is the point here. When you think of the blood of Christ, powerful, and then you think of the throne of the Father, and here you've got the blood which is powerful, and here you have the seat of authority and power in the whole universe. And now you've got this blood that speaks all these things we're going to see, but now the blood is sprinkled on the throne of God. This is what happened in the tabernacle when the atoning blood was presented in the Day of Atonement. The blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. In other words, it was sprinkled on God. It's not the throne of God. It's God that received this blood. The power of the blood is when it is sprinkled on the throne of God. There is nothing higher than the throne of God. There is no greater authority. You know that you can have an appeal to higher courts. You can go, you can say, oh, well, I appeal the judgment, and you go to from a magistrate's court to the central court, and then you go appeal again, you go to the Supreme Court, and so on. But the point is, when you come to the throne of God, there is no higher authority. There is no other place that can counteract this judgment. There is no power that can resist this. This is the greatest power of God, the blood, united now with the throne of God. The blood presented on the throne. And the combination of these two is to impart to the blood the whole authority of God. The blood of Jesus is received in heaven by the Father, and to that blood is now given supreme and total authority. There is nothing higher than what Christ did and said on the cross. The question will arise, when was the blood presented in heaven? And there are different possibilities. One possibility is that when Christ died on the cross, he was at that moment presenting it in heaven. That's personally what I believe. It doesn't matter which you believe. It doesn't make any difference, actually. The other possibility would be that after he died, he presented and rose again, he presented the blood in heaven afterwards. That's also possible. Did I say more than two? Anyway, there's two possibilities. But the thing is, it doesn't make any difference. But one thing is clear: what Christ said and did on that cross was spoken and written and recorded as a conversation and a judgment and an agreement in the eternal law courts of the universe. There is no higher judgment. Just as an aside, if you turn into Revelation chapter 5 for a moment, and we're going to do a course on Revelation. I think we're going to do it we haven't confirmed it yet. We've got to have the confirmation from the big boss when he comes back from, is that Jeremiah? But anyway, we're going to have the big confirmation later, but we're going to do Revelation, we think, in September. But here's a quote from Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 is the cross as seen from heaven. And you have this moment when the cross is seen as it happened in heaven. And this is one of the reasons why I believe that the cross, the blood was presented in heaven at the moment that Jesus died. And you do remember that we are now in heavenly places, so there's no reason why the cross itself should not have been enacted in a heavenly place. I'm sure it was. Here in chapter 5, this is the cross. He wept much, verse 4, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living beings, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been freshly slain. And that's the force of the Greek. There's the lamb having been freshly slain. And here's the slain lamb standing, not dead. It's not a dead lamb lying dead on the throne. It's a slain lamb standing. Or if you like, sitting. It doesn't matter how you view it, but this is a living lamb having been freshly slain. And when he comes and takes the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he does this, there's unleashed this great wave of worship in heaven, which is changed now from the song of the Creator in chapter 4, which is the song before the cross. In chapter 4 is the heaven before the cross. You see heaven where the creation song is sung, the Creator God. But now in chapter 5, it's the redemption song. And you now find you have redeemed us, and we have the redemption song. And there's the wonderful song, and then you get the worthy is the lamb that was slain, verse 12, and then you get all heaven joining in. Not the angels. The angels aren't singing, all singing this song. It's the redeemed sing that song about we being redeemed. That's in verse 10. You've redeemed, verse 9, you've redeemed, that's the believers sing that. But in verse 12, the angels join in to sing, worthy is the lamb that was slain. And there's the wonder of the blood, the slain lamb appearing in the midst of the throne. And that's really what we have. He appears in heaven and was presented in heaven. Back to Hebrews now. The second thing we learn about the blood is that it cleansed heaven. Now that is told us really only in this verse, in chapter 9, verse 23. The copies of the things, that's the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a pattern of the heavens. But the heavenly things themselves were purged and purified with better sacrifices. Now, when we say heaven was purified by the blood, people may say, well, wait a minute, was heaven defiled? Of course, the truth is, I remember we talked about this when we did the feasts. We talked about the Jewish feasts. But the truth is that heaven was defiled in as much as sin began in heaven. Sin did not begin on earth. It began with a rebellion before the very throne of God. Some have even speculated whether there were not five living beings, living creatures before the throne, and whether Satan was not one of the five. Possible. And others have speculated on what his position was. One thing is absolutely clear, is that Lucifer, in his pre-fallen condition, before he fell, he was in this very wonderful atmosphere, but he was not tested, and then he was tempted in his spirit and sinned and fell. And he is the one who conceived sin in his own being. Now, the point about Satan's fall is that you know it comes in stages. You know he fell first, and he was also cast out of heaven. Jesus said he would cast out the prince of this world. In John 14, the last verse, he says, now is the judgment of the prince of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Jesus cast out the prince of this world when he died on that cross. And that's one of the great works of the cross, is he purged heaven. And wherever Satan's operations were, he closed down all his operations in those realms. Closed down the accuser of the brethren's ability to approach God. And now we have this tremendous fact, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, heaven is purged. Now, what do we mean? We mean that certainly heaven is purged, and the heavenly places where Satan moved and lived, they are now purged.